This is AENN, American Exceptionalism News Network.
Everybody is to leave here immediately. This cafe is closed until further notice. Clear the room at once.
How can he close me up? On what ground?
I'm shocked to find that gambling is going on in here.
You're winning, sir.
Oh, thank you very much. Everybody out at once.
Round up the usual suspects.
2-1-1-0.
I know some people want me to bypass Congress and change the laws on my own.
It is the agenda for the 21st century you're living in today. For a brave new world where everything that you cherished and held true will no longer exist.
The original Constitution, I think it is an imperfect document, and I think it is a document that reflects some deep flaws.
And that would authorize him to use the military to arrest people in the United States who, in the president's opinion, are enemies of the country.
You'll find that they've also asked for the right to imprison farmers who wouldn't keep books as prescribed by the federal government. The Secretary of Agriculture asked for the right to seize farms through condemnation and resell them to other individuals. And contained in that same program was a provision that would have allowed the federal government to remove 2 million farmers from the soil.
New government Republicans and Democrats were busy shredding the last vestiges of the Constitution. They're talking about inserting the army into domestic law enforcement. The homeland is part of the battlefield, and people can be held without trial, whether an American citizen or not.
I have been often to, the mothership in New York City, but it's good to have an outpost of the council right here down the street from the State Department. We get a lot of advice from the council, so this will mean I won't have as far to go to be told what we should be doing and how we should think about the future.
Take off the tinfoil hat and put on the Kevlar. It's time for battle with Paul Preston and the Agenda 21 Show.
Well, hello and welcome to Agenda 21 Radio. This is the radio show that is stopping totalitarianism, one exceptional American at a time. And yes, ladies and gentlemen, are you that exceptional American? I suspect you are, so welcome aboard Agenda 21 Radio. Please visit our website, 821r.com, and of course, newcaliforniastate.com, newcaliforniastate.com. A lot of things happening on New California. Okay. Well, one of the big things, of course, is our fourth constitutional convention. It's going to be quite the convention. So anyway, let's get started on the second hour here on Agenda 21 Radio. Call-in line is 215-867-8255. We'll open those up in the B block here on the second hour. Also, Paul at new at well, don't do that one. Paul at 821r.com. Paul at 821r.com is my email, and we'll be jumping on that in the second segment as well. Okay, and I'm getting several bits of information from people. I really appreciate it, and you know some of you have my inside line, and you're sending me little things. There's no tweets. No, I'm not quite looking for that one. Anyway, President, of course, is threatening that he's going to do what? He's going to naturally close the border. You know? And that's got everybody kind of, their panties are in a bunch on the left, of course. We can't have anything that shows that the president is resolute on anything, right? You think they would have learned their lesson with the coup d'etat that he is going to address. What do you think? The coup d'etat. Rein in the Justice Department so you can't have another coup d'etat attempt like we've seen, right? It's kind of interesting. Cheryl Atkinson, who, by the way, is a classy lady, I interviewed her years ago. Years and years and years and years ago. It seemed like she was on Agenda 21 Radio years and years and years ago. But she's got an article that is out on Epoch Times, says, the many unanswered questions about the Trump investigation, Cheryl Atkinson. It's a commentary by her. And if you don't know who Cheryl Atkinson was, she was with CBS. Got out of the CBS thing because of, well, you know, talk about creepy things. You got to remember, and this is still part of an ongoing investigation by people no longer in government, but Fenton is doing an investigation on some of the players that she actually knows and knew at CBS. There was Ben and David Rhodes. Remember Ben Rhodes? He was the some sort of political security advisor to the president, Obama. He's the guy who put together the whole story about Benghazi, Benghazi, Benghazi. Remember that? He's the guy who did that. And then his brother, David, was head of CBS. Oh, yeah, that guy. And she was kind of, at the time, with CBS, and it got creepy because people were looking at her computer, and the mouse was suddenly moving, you know, the cursor on the screen and everything, and she realized she was being spied upon by the very government that Ben Rhodes was kind of associated with, the brother of David, her boss. So she jumped out of that, obviously. So this is now Cheryl. She's just an absolutely incredible reporter. Anyway, with the Justice, this is her article commentary, with the Justice Department's release of the summary of special counsel Robert Mueller's report, some Americans are spiking the football. There was no coordination or collusion of any kind between Russia and the president, Donald Trump, or any American, Mueller says. There will be no arrest or indictments for any such alleged crime. Others remain unconvinced. They are certain that Mueller's full report, if revealed, will somehow tell an entirely different story. They want the investigations of Trump and his associates to continue. Indeed, some Democrats in Congress promised to soldier on. But it seems there are a few major questions that all sides might wish to ask. If, in the end, Mueller found no convincing evidence that Americans colluded with Russia, how did top current and former U.S. intel officials supposedly become so convinced otherwise? I hate it when she asks such good questions, don't you? I mean, this is just major criminal stuff going on, guys. Right in front of our faces. In fact, one might ask, were they really convinced? Or were they promulgating a narrative they knew was at best unproven and quite possibly false? And if so, why? Answering those questions requires digging into some details that investigators and reporters haven't seemed terribly curious about. Here are just a few of them. This is the way she puts it. That's why I love this girl. She's great. How and why did ex-MI6 spy Christopher Steele come to meet with certain Russian sources close to Vladimir Putin in 2016 as they supposedly passed on the wildest sort of rumors about Trump, which Steele then wrote up in his dossier for Glenn Simpson's Fusion GPS? Did these Russian sources, Steele and Simpson, conspire to influence the 2016 campaign? Oops. Oops. Now, I want to ask this question again. And this is where you flip the script on people, right? Flipping the script. That's a gangster term. It's from the street. Turning the tables, right? Flipping the script. Ask the question again, so pay attention. Did these Russian sources, Steele and Simpson, conspire to influence the 2016 campaign? Which, by extension, everybody else was conspiring to influence the campaign against Trump. That's what they're saying. How did the former UK ambassador to Russia, Sir Andrew Wood, learn about the dossier? And how was it that he then told Senator John McCain and McCain's one-time advisor, David Kramer, about it as they attended a security conference in Halifax, Nova Scotia, in November 2016? Kind of curious, huh? Right. And McCain's there with his advisor, David Kramer. Did this contact qualify as an additional foreign attempt to influence our election? Did John McCain attempt? This is what she's asking. who at the FBI and Justice Department believe that the dossier funded by Democrats in the Hillary Clinton campaign passed the credibility test without even minimal verification, who further determined that the dossier merited inclusion as evidence in an application to wiretap Trump campaign advisor Carter Page. Who was that? Who thought it was a valid idea to continue to wiretap Page time after time after time, as if he were a Russian agent, while they apparently turned up no evidence that he was? Did any foreign intelligence service surveillance court judges question the FBI's relentless pursuit of Carter Page and the dragnet the wiretaps allowed them to secretly cast for those around him, including quite possibly Trump, who is behind the campaign of anti-Trump leaks, frequently including false information that became ubiquitous in the news media? These are just a few of the questions that she's asking. Who worked to make the entire false conspiracy theory about Russia colluding with Trump or the Trump campaign dominate our news and political landscape day in and day out? And what does it say about the judgment of some of our top one-time intel officials if they really believe Trump colluded with Russia? This includes, here he is, CIA Director John Brennan, James Comey, and James Clapper, former National Security, Susan Rice, and Samantha Power. Well, you know what they were doing. It's pretty obvious. Here comes the judge.
We're sending out an SOS to the last vestiges of freedom, democracy, and the American way of life. Paul Preston with Agenda 21.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, inventor of MyPillow. Thanks to your support, you've helped make MyPillow become one of the fastest growing companies in America. Over the last 12 years, you've helped MyPillow create thousands of jobs right here in the USA. Every MyPillow is made with passion here in my home state of Minnesota to ensure you get the best sleep of your life.
I've never slept better in my life. What's better than a great night's sleep?
Sleep is one of the most important things to your health, and MyPillow is one of the most important things to your sleep.
Call or go to MyPillow.com now, and Mike will give you two MyPillow premiums for one low price. Use the promo code, and you'll also receive free shipping. That's two MyPillow premiums for one low price.
I tried every pillow, from expensive down pillows that just went flat to fiber-filled pillows that rebound every time you move your head. I even tried those memory foam pillows, and the curve did not match my neck, and it probably won't match yours. That's why I invented my pillow. My patented fill adjusts to your exact individual needs and helps keep your neck supported and aligned.
My pillow lasts 10 years, is machine washable and dryable, and comes with a 60-day money-back guarantee.
I personally guarantee my pillow will be the most comfortable pillow you'll ever own, or your money back.
Call or go to MyPillow.com now, and Mike will give you two MyPillow premiums for one low price. Use the promo code, and you'll also receive free shipping. That's two MyPillow premiums for one low price.
With our 60-day money-back guarantee, you have nothing to lose.
Sleep well, America!
Call 800-266-4715. That's 800-266-4715 when you use the promo code AGENDA. 800-266-4715, promo code AGENDA.
For the best night's sleep in the whole wide world, visit MyPillow.com.
Do you have a treasure box of coins, jewelry, silverware? Ever wonder if they have any value? We offer friendly, free, fair appraisals and pay cash on the spot.
Bring them to your local coin shop, Yuba City Coin and Bullion, by the 10th Street Bridge. Always buying and selling gold, silver, and platinum jewelry, U.S. and foreign coins, sterling silverware, plaster gold.
It's a great time to make some extra cash and invest in bullion, junk silver, gold and silver ingots, eagles, and maple leaves. We specialize in all precious metals. And for you coin collectors,
and for those just starting,
we have a wide selection of type coins and currency. We're PCGS and NGC affiliated. So swing by your local coin shop, Yuba City Coin and Bullion.
438 Calusa Highway by the 10th Street Bridge. Friendly service, fair prices. Yuba City Coin and Bullion. 755 Coin.
There are enough laws on the books by Congress that are very clear in terms of how we have to enforce our immigration system.
All aboard!
He's undoing the UN, one community at a time. It's Paul Preston.
And we're back here on Agenda 21 Radio. Remember to visit our website, 821R.com. That's 821R.com. And also NewCaliforniaState.com. NewCaliforniaState.com. Yeah, Bernie denies spreading creepy accusations. It's just sort of... Of course he did. He didn't do it. He didn't do it. He did not do it. No. Okay, for those of you in Illinois and the new Illinois movement, awesome. Lightfoot elected Chicago's first black woman and open gay mayor. Okay. Not acting drama student charged in dorm stabbing told police he was curious what would it be like. There you go. I don't even want to go there. But I do want to talk about this. Lori Lightfoot elected Chicago mayor. Bye, Rom. Will be first black woman and first openly gay person to hold post. Lori Lightfoot told Tony Preckwinkle. Lori Lightfoot and Tony Preckwinkle had the first two spots in February's election that saw a historic 14 candidates for mayor leading to the runoff. Lori Lightfoot elected first black female and gay mayor. So you got a threefer, black, female, and gay. There you go. She sounds pretty determined. I think I'm going to get the snippet. I don't want the. Here you go.
Voters in Chicago have elected an African American woman to be that city's next mayor. Lori Lightfoot beat Tony Preckwinkle in a runoff election. She claimed a resounding victory with 74% of the vote. The former federal prosecutor will also become Chicago's first openly gay mayor. During her victory speech, Lightfoot thanked voters for creating a quote movement for change.
Together, we can and will finally put the interests of our people, all of our people, ahead of the interests of a powerful few.
Lightfoot will be sworn in on May 20th.
Wow. There you go. She sounds determined. You know, I mean, I like the attitude because, you know, in Chicago, it's the very influential people, right? The few that she's talking about. I wonder how well she's going to work. But what happens if she's the governor? If they suddenly turn Chicago into the 51st state? As proposed, there's a proposal out there. You know, what would that be like? What would that be like? What would that be like? Well, I'll tell you what. It would be pretty astounding, wouldn't it? Yeah, they got some. It's kind of. I want to check this out. Maybe she should be the governor of Chicago, the great state of Chicago. Right? Maybe she should be. City set to elect. So this was a clip. I'm not going to play. I don't want to play. So it says the former prosecutor Lori Lightfoot defeated Tony Preckwinkle in a runoff for Chicago mayor. Governor, it's kind of slipping in there. Chicago mayor. She will be the first openly gay person and first black woman to lead the city. The Associated Press called the race for Lightfoot shortly after 8 p.m. local time. With over 91% of the precincts in, Lightfoot led Preckwinkle 73 to 20. Wow, that's a drubbing. Lightfoot pumped her fist in the air. Fist pump, and the crowd cheered when she said, "Thank you, Chicago." In this election, Tony and I were competitors, but our differences are nothing compared to what we can achieve together. Calling for unity, I guess. Today, how much, I mean, she's got 70-some percent, she's got 73% of the vote. I mean, my gosh. Today, you did more than make history, Lightfoot said. You created a movement for change. Changeable movements, yep. Lightfoot, 56, was an assistant U.S. attorney before she entered private practice, has never held office before. The runoff election was bound to be historic, as either of the two candidates was going to the Chicago. So, in other words, this Preckwinkle is a black lady. Okay? Get it? So it was historic to begin with. I mean, I'm wondering, 73%. It's really 73.7% of the vote. That's a drubbing to Preckwinkle. But, you know, wow, that's just kind of interesting, isn't it? Big time. Lightfoot, 56, who was an assistant U.S. attorney before she entered the private practice, has never held an elective office before. The runoff election was bound to be historic. Preckwinkle told supporters Tuesday evening that she called Lightfoot to congratulate her. This may not be the outcome we wanted, but while I may be disappointed, I'm not disheartened, she said. For one thing, this is a clearly historic night. Not long ago, two African-American women vying for this position would have been unthinkable. Lightfoot came in first in the February election and saw a record 14 candidates vying. That's pretty interesting. So this is we're going to catch this here. I'll capture this one for you.
Chicago.
This is her last night. This is the victory lap.
From the bottom of my heart, thank you. A few moments ago, I spoke with Tony Preckwinkle.
There you go.
In this election, Tony and I were competitors. But our differences are nothing compared to what we can achieve together. Now that it's over, I know we will work together for the city that we both love. Today, you did more than make history. You created a movement for change. This is not us versus them or neighborhoods versus downtown. We are in this together and we will grow together.
Well, she sounds pretty determined. I guess that's always a good thing, isn't it? And it's a good thing, I think, for Chicago, but, you know, all I know is Chicago is a pretty corrupt place. This is the picture of Chicago. Gangsters, and Obama, the home of Obama. And just think about this. Saul Alinsky? Wow. I mean, just a few of the gangsters, just a few of the people. And Hillary Clinton. Yeah. And of course we know that Bill Ayers and Bernadine Dorn, they're coming out of there now. I mean, they were from California, but now they're in Chicago, right? That's kind of one of their places they hang out. Isn't that interesting how this whole thing plays out, huh? Chicago. And now you have just gangsterism all over the place in Chicago. And where are these gangsters from? Well, these gangsters are from, you know, like Sinaloa. The cartels up there running everything. Well, she turned it around. And you know, she's a prosecutor, former federal prosecutor. How can she turn that around? How can she stop that spigot of corruption? The pathway from Mexico to Chicago, right up through Texas, right? Right up. Remember they were going to build some big highway up there from Mexico to Chicago, but they sort of bypass that now. The cartels run everything, run their drugs, run their sex trafficking, run their trafficking of human flesh and slavery right up into Chicago. Big money, Chicago, gangsterism. Will she turn it around? I don't know. But I know one thing. There's a state movement in Chicago that's legitimate. And that state movement is gaining speed, just like the state movement here in New California is picking up speed and momentum. It's kind of interesting to see how this little thing will pan out, huh? Reynolds versus Sims. It's kind of interesting. We get into the era of the 60s. And you get into the civil rights movement, Reynolds versus Sims, all the big time changes that occurred in the 60s. You know, one of the big things that I can distinctly remember is when I was being called Waito all the time, and, well, people from Mexico were being discriminated against. Changing of the Becerra Law. We'll be back.
Here we go! Hello,
I'm Mike Lindell, and as you know, my passion is to help each and every one of you get the best sleep of your life. That's why I created my new Giza Dreams bed sheets. I guarantee you they'll be the most comfortable sheets you'll ever own. I started by using the world's best cotton called Giza. It's only grown in a region between the Sahara Desert, the Mediterranean Sea, and the Nile River. It's ultra soft and breathable, but extremely durable, which is why I can give you my full 10-year warranty. But I didn't stop there. My Giza sheets also include full 21-inch wide pillowcases that will fit over any pillow and deep pocket sheets that will fit over any mattress. I guarantee you the first night you sleep on my sheets, you'll never want to sleep on anything else.
Go to MyPillow.com or call the number on your screen right now. MyPillow Giza Dream Sheets are available in a variety of colors and will be the softest, most comfortable sheets you will ever own. Use the promo code and Mike will give you 30% off and free shipping. Giza Dreams are made with the finest, most sought-after cotton in the world. Giza cotton was once reserved for only the finest dress shirts, but is now available in Mike's Giza Dream Sheets. They feature a beautiful silky sateen weave that helps keep you cool and comfortable all night long. Go to MyPillow.com or call the number on your screen right now to get your very own MyPillow Giza Dream Sheets. Use the promo code and Mike will give you 30% off and free shipping. That's right, 30% off and free shipping. Call or go online now.
Call 800-266-4715. That's 800-266-4715 when you use the promo code AGENDA. 800-266-4715, promo code AGENDA.
For the best night's sleep in the whole wide world, visit MyPillow.com.
Do you have a treasure box of coins, jewelry, silverware? Ever wonder if they have any value? We offer friendly, free, fair appraisals and pay cash on the spot.
Bring them to your local coin shop, Yuba City Coin and Bullion, by the 10th Street Bridge. Always buying and selling gold, silver, and platinum jewelry, U.S. and foreign coins, sterling silverware, placer gold.
It's a great time to make some extra cash and invest in bullion, junk silver, gold and silver ingots, eagles, and maple leaves. We specialize in all precious metals. And for you coin collectors,
and for those just starting,
we have a wide selection of type coins and currency. We're PCGS and NGC affiliated. So swing by your local coin shop, Yuba City Coin and Bullion.
438 Calusa Highway by the 10th Street Bridge. Friendly service, fair prices. Yuba City Coin and Bullion. 755 Coin.
Deep in a bunker, way behind enemy lines, broadcasting the truth about what's really going on. Agenda 21 Radio.
Okay, so one of my handy-dandy New Yorkers out there brings to my attention that... I was perseverating on the winner in the Chicago mayor's election, that Preckwinkle, the loser, only got like about 27%, 23% or something like that of the vote, and the winner got, 73.7%. That's kind of like 74%. Anyway, it says, Preckwinkle, who's a Cook County supervisor, was implicated in the Smollett debacle. Okay, so that explains it. People are ticked in Chicago about that. So, and they took it out on her. There you go. There you go. Here we go. I'm just saying. I mean, my gosh. My gosh. You know, it was kind of interesting. The era of the 60s. The era of the 60s. Brings us so much. Thinking about it, you had Kennedy. Let's run down the list of things that was so dramatic about the 60s. And I'm running out of paper. This is my show notes, by the way. This is in-depth show notes. Let's start out 1960, election of Kennedy. Okay, Kennedy. The Kennedy election. 1960. Let's just go there. And remember, it was Eisenhower before Kennedy, right? All right. He defeats Nixon, and I can remember the debate. I vividly remember the debate that night. And I tell this story all the time. It's class, my, you know, this is a long time ago. I know I'm old. I get it. Okay, so Nixon is debating Kennedy. And I really, you know, I come from a Nixon family. I mean, everybody's Nixonian. And I vividly remember my stepfather in the other room listening to KFI radio. It was kind of interesting. He was absolutely adamant. KFI, he didn't want to watch TV. So we're watching the Nixon debate, my mom and I and my brother. And it was pretty obvious to us that Nixon, just the visual part of it, lost the debate. He did. He just looked bad. I mean, because black and white TV, Kennedy comes out in dark suit, you know, strapping fellow, you know. Kennedy, and Nixon comes, and he's got like a seersucker thing going on. It's not a good visual. And he's sweating. I mean, and the light shows him sweating. It was not good. It was not a good visual for him. Now, had he had a dark suit on, then a better visual, it may have been different. But the perception with the visual and the audio was just like, wow. Now, on a pure audio standpoint, my stepfather was all over it. Nixon won the debate. Of course, we're looking at him like, wow, what did you see? And of course, he hadn't seen anything. And that was one of my first times. But anyway, so Kennedy wins. Then Kennedy wins, and then we have the civil rights thing going on, right? And then we have Vietnam going on. And then Kennedy is assassinated. Just a few highlights to a highlighter thing here. Then we had 1964 Civil Rights Act, right? And then we had some other things going. I know. There was also, I think 1966 or 1967, there were things going on with immigration. Shocking. Immigration. Yeah, we had a whole bunch of laws that were passed about immigration. Wow. Back then they did that. Yeah. Well, and I know. I forgot 1964 also was Reynolds versus Sims. How could I forget that? See, I'm writing this all down. Reynolds v. Sims. Now, remember, that's a court case that set up, that destroyed the little federal model at the state level. Okay, so what that meant was that if, in fact, you wanted to, well, count, use senators, get rid of senators, or sort of fuse senators in with your representatives or your assembly members for your state level, that would destroy the little federal model. So what that meant was this, is that senators were no longer apportioned by the counties that they represented. Senators were apportioned by population in what were called senatorial districts. No counties for you. So the big federal model still existed. And the big federal model was two senators for each state, regardless of population. And it used to be that way for senators in counties. There was always a county senator for this that was represented to the state legislature. That was the model. But they broke that with Reynolds versus said, no. Well, we're going to go one person, one vote. One man, one vote. That's the way they looked at it. That was the mantra. So basically what you had was senators now representing what? Populations. There you go. So what that meant was that rural areas in places where there were fewer people got no representation in the state legislature. I mean, think about it. A county is a legal entity. It's a border. It's a subset of a state. Just like a state is a subset of the union of states, right? Get it? So you have this situation now where you have them representing just people. So there's no representation in the rural areas. In California, we have the Senate District number one. They just had a runoff election. We're going to have a runoff election. And this is kind of interesting because in that district, there are like 11 counties. I think it's 11 or 12 counties that the senator represents. How can a senator properly represent these counties with vast resources, natural resources, timber, water, minerals, oil, How can they properly? How can one senator represent those counties properly? And they can't. Now you get the drift. He's apportioned by population. So what that means is that the rural areas get no representation from a Senate standpoint, and the urban get all the representation. That's why you have Manhattan the way it is, right? Because all your senators are piled into Manhattan based upon population, and your rural areas get no representation. And, of course, when you go to the legislature, it's supposed to be equal power in a bicameral legislature, right? Equal power between Senate and Assembly or House of Representatives. I don't care what you call them. But it's not there. So Reynolds versus Sims, that concept destroyed rural representation and brought power strictly into those urban areas, which today still exist. That's why Chicago, right, population density of Cook County is so large in Chicago. It basically dominates everything that goes on in the entire state of Illinois. And the same with New York. Manhattan dominates everything in terms of decision-making, everything in Albany, New York, which is out in the rural area, but it still dominates it. California, it's Los Angeles and San Francisco, and, of course, it's Sacramento area. Those are the way things work. That's the way it works now. What about those people who get no representation and their property gets no representation? What about that? Well, they go wanting for representation. And therein lies the big problem. Now we mix it up with immigration in the Civil Rights Act. All in the 1960s. Oh, by the way, they assassinated Robert Kennedy and Martin Luther King, didn't they? We'll be back. You're listening to Agenda 21 Radio.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, and as you know, my passion is to help each and every one of you get the best sleep of your life. That's why I created my new Giza Dreams bed sheets. I guarantee you they'll be the most comfortable sheets you'll ever own. I started by using the world's best cotton called Giza. It's only grown in a region between the Sahara Desert, the Mediterranean Sea, and the Nile River. It's ultra soft and breathable, but extremely durable, which is why I can give you my full 10-year warranty. But I didn't stop there. My Giza sheets also include full 21-inch wide pillowcases that will fit over any pillow and deep pocket sheets that will fit over any mattress. I guarantee you the first night you sleep on my sheets, you'll never want to sleep on anything else.
Go to MyPillow.com or call the number on your screen right now. MyPillow Giza Dream Sheets are available in a variety of colors and will be the softest, most comfortable sheets you will ever own. Use the promo code and Mike will give you 30% off and free shipping. Giza Dreams are made with the finest, most sought-after cotton in the world. Giza cotton was once reserved for only the finest dress shirts, but is now available in Mike's Giza Dream Sheets. They feature a beautiful silky sateen weave that helps keep you cool and comfortable all night long. Go to MyPillow.com or call the number on your screen right now to get your very own MyPillow Giza Dream Sheets. Use the promo code and Mike will give you 30% off and free shipping. That's right, 30% off and free shipping. Call or go online now.
Call 800-266-4715. That's 800-266-4715 when you use the promo code AGENDA. 800-266-4715, promo code AGENDA.
For the best night's sleep in the whole wide world, visit MyPillow.com.
Do you have a treasure box of coins, jewelry, silverware? Ever wonder if they have any value? We offer friendly, free, fair appraisals and pay cash on the spot.
Bring them to your local coin shop, Yuba City Coin and Bullion, by the 10th Street Bridge. Always buying and selling gold, silver, and platinum jewelry, U.S. and foreign coins, sterling silverware, placer gold.
It's a great time to make some extra cash and invest in bullion, junk silver, gold and silver ingots, eagles and maple leaves. We specialize in all all precious metals. And for you coin collectors,
and for those just starting,
we have a wide selection of type coins and currency. We're PCGS and NGC affiliated, so swing by your local coin shop, Yuba City Coin and Bullion.
438 Colusa Highway by the 10th Street Bridge. Friendly service, fair prices. Yuba City Coin and Bullion, 755 Coin.
We're also a nation of laws. That's part of our tradition.
We're sending out an SOS to the last vestiges of freedom, democracy, and the American way of life. Paul Preston with Agenda 21.
Laws and so on. You know, the immigration program that was set up, known as the Bracero program. Kind of interesting, I can remember distinctly the Bracero program because I was working in the fields at the time. I Wikipedia'd this thing, and there's a whole bunch of stuff about it. Here it is. Says, this is the Bracero program. Now, the word Bracero, Spanish term meaning manual labor, one who works with his arms. Okay? Bracero. That's what that means. Bracero. So all you Braceros out there. Now, this, the Bracero program, was a series of laws and diplomatic agreements initiated in August 4th, 1942, when the United States signed the Mexican Farm Labor Agreement with Mexico. This is some of the heart and soul of what's been going on for illegal immigration, right? I'm telling you, this is one of the basis of it. The agreement, it says, when the United States, okay, the agreement guaranteed decent living conditions, sanitation, adequate shelter and food, and a minimum wage of 30 cents an hour. It also allowed the importation of contract laborers from Guam as a temporary measure during the early phases of World War II. Okay? That's the Bracero program. See, the agreement was extended with the Migrant Labor Agreement of 1951, enacted as an amendment to the Agricultural Act of 1949 by Congress, which set the official parameters for the Bracero program until its termination in 1964. Okay? Now, I was working in the fields then, and I can remember distinctly when that stopped. That was a problem, because the next year, Hueto here, it became problematic for Hueto, me. I was Hueto in the fields. And people, the men didn't like me. I said, why the Hueto out here? Right? I had no clue. You know, like 13 years old or something like that. It says 1951, okay. Notable strike of 1940. Reasons for discontent amongst the Braceros. Wow, all this stuff with Wikipedia. So we're going to go. Introduction. This is some pretty good stuff here. The Bracero program operated as a joint program under the State Department, the Department of Labor, and the Immigration and Naturalization Services in the Department of Justice. Under this pact, the laborers were promised decent living conditions, camp laborers in labor camps, such as adequate shelter, food, and sanitation, as well as minimum wage 30 cents. The agreement also stated that Braceros would not be subject to discrimination, such as exclusion from white areas. That's a big thing. It also stated that Braceros would not be subject to discrimination, such as exclusion from white areas. This program was intended to fill the labor shortage in agriculture. Now, that's kind of interesting for me because, you know, I was a white guy working in a brown field. That's basically what it was. And I was accepted. I was clearly accepted by all the braceros that were there. I was clearly excited. They teased me relentlessly because I was the only waiter. And I didn't mind it at all. They were wonderful to me, actually. But it turned bad when the Bracero program ended. And they came across the border. And it was kind of like, hey, dude. I'm like, oh, boy. This program is intended to fill a labor shortage in agriculture. It lasted 22 years and offered employment contracts to 5 million Braceros in 24 U.S. states, becoming the largest foreign worker program. You know, they did it right back. Yeah. Worker program in U.S. history. From 1942 to 1947, only a relatively small number of Braceros were admitted, accounting for less than 10% of the U.S. hired workers. Yet both U.S. and Mexican employers became heavily dependent on Braceros for willing workers. Bribery was a common way to get a contract during this time. Consequently, several years of short-term agreements led to an increase in the undocumented immigration and a growing preference for operating outside the parameters of the program. Uh-huh. Says, moreover, Truman's Commission on Migratory Labor 1951 disclosed that the presence of Mexican workers depressed the income of American farmers, even as the U.S. Department of State urged a new Bracero program to counter the popularity of communism in Mexico. Aha! The popularity of communism in Mexico. Furthermore, it was seen as a way... I'm running out of time. It was seen as a way for Mexico to be involved in the Allied Armed Forces. The first Braceros were admitted in September 27, 1942 for the sugar beet harvest season. Well, that's interesting. That would have been Orange County, California. From 1948 to 1964, the U.S. allowed on average 200,000 Braceros per year. These are people that were managed in. I mean, we knew they were here. They knew what we were doing. We were paying them. That was the Bracero program. And, of course, they were able to take money back to Mexico and go back to Mexico in the growing season. I mean, so you had families coming back intact, right? American growers longed for a system that would admit Mexican workers and guarantee them an opportunity to grow and harvest their crops and place them on American markets. Thus, during 1948, over a new Bracero program, Mexico sought to have the United States impose sanctions on American employers of undocumented workers. So Mexico was asking for undocumented workers to be sanctioned by us. And they did. No, it did not. They did not. It says Truman signed Public Law 78. Wow. We'll be back.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, and as you know, my passion is to help each and every one of you get the best sleep of your life. That's why I created my new Giza Dreams bed sheets. I guarantee you they'll be the most comfortable sheets you'll ever own. I started by using the world's best cotton called Giza. It's only grown in a region between the Sahara Desert, the Mediterranean Sea, and the Nile River. It's ultra soft and breathable, but extremely durable, which is why I can give you my full 10-year warranty. But I didn't stop there. My Giza sheets also include full 21-inch wide pillowcases that will fit over any pillow and deep pocket sheets that will fit over any mattress. I guarantee you the first night you sleep on my sheets, you'll never want to sleep on anything else.
Go to MyPillow.com or call the number on your screen right now. MyPillow Giza Dream Sheets are available in a variety of colors and will be the softest, most comfortable sheets you will ever own. Use the promo code and Mike will give you 30% off and free shipping.
Giza dreams are made with the finest, most sought-after cotton in the world. Giza cotton was once reserved for only the finest dress shirts, but is now available in Mike's Giza Dream Sheets. They feature a beautiful silky sateen weave that helps keep you cool and comfortable all night long. Go to MyPillow.com or call the number on your screen right now to get your very own MyPillow Giza Dream Sheets. Use the promo code and Mike will give you 30% off and free shipping. That's right, 30% off and free shipping. Call or go online now.
Call 800-266-4715. That's 800-266-4715 when you use the promo code AGENDA. 800-266-4715, promo code AGENDA.
For the best night's sleep in the whole wide world, visit MyPillow.com.
Do you have a treasure box of coins, jewelry, silverware? Ever wonder if they have any value? We offer friendly, free, fair appraisals and pay cash on the spot.
Bring them to your local coin shop, Yuba City Coin and Bullion, by the 10th Street Bridge. Always buying and selling gold, silver, and platinum jewelry, U.S. and foreign coins, sterling silverware, plaster gold.
It's a great time to make some extra cash and invest in bullion, junk silver, gold and silver ingots, eagles and maple leaves. We specialize in all precious metals. And for you coin collectors,
and for those just starting,
we have a wide selection of type coins and currency. We're PCGS and NGC affiliated. So swing by your local coin shop, Yuba City Coin and Bullion.
438 Colusa Highway by the 10th Street Bridge. Friendly service, fair prices. Yuba City Coin and Bullion. 755 Coin.
Back to Agenda 21 Radio with your host, Paul Preston.
Boy, I'll tell you, we've really unpacked it here with the Bracero program. We're going to get into this. Waito here is going to get into it. Back into it. Significant history that, of course, the reason why we're doing this is this whole thing about at the border. Because at the border now, we have a huge crisis that apparently, in my opinion, kind of all started in the 60s with the end of the Bracero program, but also some civil rights actions and some immigration laws that were brought about that kind of opened the gate, the floodgate that we have today. And sort of the root of the evil. It's kind of interesting you go back to the 60s. The 60s, the root of the evil that we're experiencing today with the crisis at the border. And so many of our social ills as well, you know, in the rise of an Obama type thing. The rise of communism, which is clearly what is we're seeing here. The socialism that Donald Trump is fighting. Okay. This is, and he of course has made this the main theme of his upcoming election, is the fight against socialism. And a lot of it has been manifested in the 60s. That's why I kind of gave you that little mini rundown of the timeline. Kennedy, you know, Civil Rights Act, Vietnam, Kennedy assassinations, both of them. You know, you got to remember that Robert Kennedy wasn't a friend of unions. I mean, well, like the mafia, the gangsters, right? Didn't like them. It's kind of interesting, the gangsters of America. Now we have, of course, the gangsters of the cartels in America. They've just sort of gotten into their own little comfort zone, if you know what I mean. But the California farm labor situation has been one of the major drivers of a lot of the illegal immigration that's going on now that we're seeing. And that's kind of a interesting little observation I'm making here. Anyway, Cesar Chavez, we're going to be talking about him in the days and weeks ahead. Of course, his position was very, very interesting. He was anti-immigrant, anti-illegal immigrant. He was absolutely anti-illegal immigrant. And a lot of people don't recognize that or understand that. They think of him as some sort of radical leftist. That's not necessarily the case. In the realities of the 60s. It's kind of like what I was talking about with Nixon versus Kennedy in the debates. You know, your perception if you're listening to the radio is completely different from your perception if you're watching it on TV. Anyway, Thanks for listening to Agenda 21 Radio. Remember to visit our website, a21r.com, and, of course, newcaliforniastate.com, newcaliforniastate.com. And remember, stay strong, America. Stay strong. We are exceptional Americans.
SOS to the last vestiges of freedom, democracy, and the American way of life. Paul Preston with Agenda 21.
You're listening to Paul Preston's Agenda 21 Radio. Stay tuned for more of Paul Preston's Agenda 21 Radio.
This is AENN. American Exceptionalism News Network.